I'm reading from Isaiah 43, from verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, that you work in people's lives. And today we just give you all the glory. We just ask that you would just open our hearts as to what you want to speak to us today. Be with Mark as he brings your word right now. And may his words be your words, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just in regard to the PLP, it'd be great to have at least 30 people from our church to do that. Because the opportunity, people are like, oh, I want to change the world. I would love to make a difference. Simply journey with someone. We get people all the time ring up and go to do the PLP program. They go, have you got people to do the PLP program? It could be someone from court. It could be someone that just wants to journey with someone. And it's a great tool and a facility to be able to do it. Old, young, I just encourage it. It's just a great thing, string to have to your bow. And it's a beneficial thing. So I encourage you, be a part of that. And then simply what happens is people approach us. You don't go out searching like with a sign saying, PLP, come and like actually people will come to us and we'll go, okay, we'll line you with someone. And it's a great opportunity. I know Rod's done that before. We've had Coralie does a whole heap of it. We have Gary Joseph, I know, does it. And so I encourage you to look at that if you've got a little bit more time to look at that. Who's ever struggled with their kids' behavior? Anyone just brush their hands? Oh, only half the people. Man, there's some good kids in here. So as you know, I've got three beautiful kids. When the first two girls came on, people would come to me and go, oh, your kids are so well-behaved in church. Well, I haven't had that for about 2 years now. But anyways, obviously, it's a new addition. But Jude, he's beautiful and he's well-spirited young boy. And one of the things that we've just recently done, probably in the last, 2 months, Jude has just given up his dummies, okay? And I don't know if your child, some people go, oh, my kid didn't want a dummy. And I'm like, oh, well, that's probably a good thing. But he loved his dummy. He would go to bed, he'd have a dummy in this hand, dummy in this hand, and have a dummy like this. And then sometimes he'd just rub the dummy over his head. And he would just like, you know what I mean? If you're in the car, you just give him a dummy, boom, he's down, right? So he loved his dummy. About 2 months ago, we had Ollie and baby Archie come over with Natalie and Jared. And Lauren had worked this out. She goes, I think I know what to do. We'll get Jude. So for the 3 weeks, she would say, Jude, you're going to give your dummies to baby Archie? And the first, no. Anyway, so eventually, baby Archie arrives and Jude's convinced to give his dummies to baby Archie. But Lauren had organized a present for them to give to Jude for the dummies, if you know what I mean, like the transactional thing. So anyway, I'm like, this is not going to work, Lauren. But anyway, let's just see how it works. Anyway, so all of a sudden, we present the dummies. It was just morning. Jude's just sort of reluctantly walking over with all these dummies. And he lays it down before baby Archie. Baby Archie's thinking, what is going on here? I thought Jude was going to punch baby Archie, but anyway, and they're looking like this, and then all of a sudden he gets his present, he opens up the present, I'm not sure what it was, anyway, that was fine, that was great. Then it was nighttime, it was bedtime, And baby Archie's not the favorite baby right now. Baby Archie, have you done me? I'm like, yeah, I know. How bad is baby Archie? I just threw baby Archie, man, under the bus. I was just like, yeah, baby Archie, yeah, took your dummies. And I said, but you got a toy. You know, you got a toy. He goes, I know one toy. And he's like giving me the toy back. Anyway, this went on for an hour and a half. And I was like, oh, Lauren, just, I don't think we're going to get to sleep. And anyway, but what Lauren had done, no going back, she cut off all the dummies. She cut them all off and put them in the bin so there was no going back. Like, we are struggling. I was thinking, I think I've got to go and buy a dummy. We are in big trouble here. Anyway, eventually goes to sleep. And then the next night, but this is the hard thing, Lauren goes to the boot camp. Well, I've got to put Jude to bed. I'm like, what is going on? This is like the second night, and he's just going off. And then it's like, he wanted his dummy. I don't have any dummies anymore. He wanted mom. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I could do this. I'm looking around for a dummy. You know what I mean? I'm just thinking, how can I get this boy a dummy? Anyway, about 5 days later, he's sort of forgotten about the dummy, and baby Archie's, you know, he's still working that out. He's got a bit of a little bit resentful of baby Archie. But anyway, but what happened was he gave up as something that provided him comfort. You know what I mean? It was comfort. He just rolled it over, and in the middle of the night, that's just his comfort. He was upset. He'd go to his dummy. If he was, you know, like, but one of the things that happens when kids have a dummy for a long period of time, they don't talk much. So one of the things is his speech wasn't very good. Are you with me? So his speech wasn't very good. The other thing is, he wouldn't talk. He'd just point, and the girls didn't put the dummy in. If he was upset, he wouldn't tell you what he's upset about. He just went, dummy, dummy. That was his go-to. And I think sometimes, like, we're children of God, right? I sometimes think we hold on to things that don't actually help us move forward. We hold to things that provide us comfort but restrict us from growing up. You don't see any adults with dummies in their mouths, do you? No. But you see a lot of adults chucking dummies. You with me? And what I'm trying to say is, in order for us to grow up, we actually have to let go of the things that maybe have provided us comfort. Let go of the things in the past. Are you with me? And we see here in Scripture, and over and over and over again, it talks about giving up certain things in order to go on and take hold of something new. You with me? And I think God is saying to us as a church, us as a Salvation Army, us as a Christian denomination, actually, we've got to give up some things in order to take hold of the new thing, the great thing, the mighty thing, better than what's been behind us, in order to take hold of that. You with me? And I think us as individuals, God is saying, give up some of those things that provide you comfort. Give up some of those things that find you in that safe place. Give up some of those bad habits that you've had for a long time that you just sort of like let stay there. Give up some of this stuff in order that God can do a new thing in you. Because God can't you can't go to a new place. You can't have a new thing in your life. God can't do something great in your life if you're still holding on to the past, or you're still holding on to the great things that He's done before. Are you with me? And I come up with this little slogan: Christians have to stop thinking survival and start thinking revival. We've got to stop thinking survival. What it is just to survive as a church. The Salvation Army movement is dying, they say. One of the second fastest declining denomination in Australia is the Salvation Army. And we've got to think, oh, what are we going to do to stop that? You know what? We've got to start thinking revival. We've got to start willing to let go of the past in order to take hold of the new thing. And the new thing that He's going to do, firstly, is in us. We're actually going to be a Holy Spirit-led movement. Are you with me? We're going to be a Holy Spirit-led movement, and it's all about us as individuals. And you know, we had, for those that were here last week, we talked about holiness, and we looked at the Holy Spirit. Can everyone remember the illustration? Yeah, what was it, Rob? You had three people. We had the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've got my Holy Spirit over here. I've got my Father over here. No, I've got my Son over here. Can you just quickly come up? We'll just do a quick recap. Come on. And what was happening is we've got the Holy Spirit over here, we've got the Son over here, and we've got God the Father over here, and you hold hands, guys. And so often we're connected to the Father, we know the Father because we look to the Son. And we look and we're connected to the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. And we stay connected. Sometimes we get distracted. And we do life a little bit like this. And sometimes we can go off in tangents and like things. But what God's calling us to do and what holiness is to be set apart. And it's actually start to doing not life like this, but start to doing life like this. Are you with me? And what we're talking about is God is doing a new thing, and He'll do a new thing if we place ourselves right at the center of what God wants us to do and who He wants us to become. Are you with me? And we have to let go of some of these things in order to take hold of the new thing that God is doing. You with me? Great. Thank you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Bless you. So I want to just quickly unpack the passage, and I'm going to tell you how I'm going to land. It's probably not the best way to preach, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to finish. And we're going to have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit just to speak to you. Because I can tell you this, He'll convict you and talk to you about things that I never could. And my prayer is this, that you would listen to the still small voice that prompts you. And what it is that I'm going to ask and what I'm praying is, what are some of these strongholds? What are the dummies in your life? Those things that you hold on for comfort, and it could be a bad thing. It could be seen as a good thing, but really it distracts you from being who God wants you to be. What is it that God's going to reveal to you and that you're willing, going to be willing to give it up in order to take hold of the new thing? Who wants a new thing? Who wants God to do a new thing in their life? Yeah? You want God to do a new thing in your life, but you have to be willing to let go of the old thing or even what you currently have. And that is one of the most challenging places to be. The first, in verse 15 in Isaiah 43, it says four things. He says, he makes reference, I am the Lord. First, I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. I'm God. And then he says, I'm the Lord, your Holy One. I'm set apart. There's no sin. There's no darkness in me. And he goes on to say, I'm the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, Creator. I'm the Creator. But the beginning of time, I created you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Some have more and some have less. He knows that. He knows you before you were knitted together in your mother's womb. And then he goes on to say, I'm your King. He's saying, I'm your God. I'm the Holy One. I'm holy. I'm set apart for you. I'm the Creator. I was at the beginning of time. I was before. And he goes, and I'm your King. What he's saying is, I'm all you need. I'm all you need. And what God wants to say to us today is, He is all you need. God is all you need. God is all you need. And then it goes on to verse 16 and 17. And for me, this is a hard thing to comprehend. It says this. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea and path through the mighty waters, who drew out of the chariots and horses and the army of the reinforced together and lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like... He's reminding them of when Israel was brought to the promised land and they get to the Red Sea and Moses is here and all the people are trying to kill him and they're coming from the back. All the Egyptians are coming and they go through the Red Sea. He's reminding them of how faithful and how powerful he has been before. That's what he's doing. He's reminding you, guys, God's been faithful. He's provided for you and he's been faithful to you over all this time. You know what? He's done some great stuff in your life. And that was one of the great miracles of all Scripture. And then guess what he says? Guess what he says? And this is a challenge for the Salvation Army. This is what he says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I can tell you this, one of the challenges and blessings, but a challenge with having a great heritage like the Salvation Army is that we'll hold on to the things that He's done in the past. We'll hold on so much that we don't take hold of what He wants to do. Are you with me? And so often in our lives, we hold on to the past that we can't take hold of the new thing that he's doing. He goes on to say, see, and it talks in the King James Version, it says, behold, which is amazing. It's like, behold, stand in awe, be amazed. He says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. I love it. And it says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. He's saying things, places that have never been before and people haven't gone before because there's nothing worthwhile there. He says, I'm going to provide a path when you see that things are all lost. And he says, I'm going to bring a spring in the wasteland, places that people don't even think it's worthwhile. He goes, I'm actually going to provide actually streams in there, life in there. I'm going to bring things that in your life that have been dead and I'm going to bring them back to life again. Who wants a new thing in their life? Yeah. I want a new thing in our life. And this is not a beat up on the Salvation Army. This is a challenge just for the church as a whole. And I take this for myself. But one of the strongholds, the things that hold us back from being all that God has created us to be is fear of losing something we have come to love, okay? Fear to losing something we have come to love. And in the church, the greatest fear is this. Everything in the world is changing. Don't let my church change. Let me stay hold of, and I, a bit like the dummy, roll the dummy and have the dummy and stay comfort. We hold on to some of these things that bring us a bit of comfort. Okay? But God is doing a new thing. Now, this illustration, hear me out, I'm not trying to offend anyone. It's not about the song. It's not about the songs we sing. But I want to give you an example. When William Booth wrote the songs, and they would criticize William Booth because they said his songs were so worldly. And he says, why should the devil have all the good music? And he wrote modern songs of the day and to tunes and things like this. And I love it. Last week we sang, Oh, Boundless Salvation. There's a beauty of singing our heritage. We have a great heritage and we shouldn't lose that heritage. But where was the time when we stopped writing a new song? When was the time we stopped writing a new song? Because the reality is God wants to write a new song in your life. He wants to write a new song in the next chapter. He wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to do something great. The past has been great, but he still has more for you. Are you with me? He has a new song. There's a new day. And we have to be willing sometimes to let go of some things that aren't good, some things we perceive as good, in order to take hold of the new thing that he is doing. You know, William Booth, we talk about, oh, I wish we were more army. William Booth was an apostle. And what apostles do, they make things happen, but they willingly strive for what they think that God wants them to achieve. And in the process, they let go of some of the things that they've currently done. So if you look at, go through the Match Factory, you guys would have a lot more understanding of Salvation Army history than myself, but the Match Factory. And the reason he took on the Match Factory, because there's a huge need, because when they were making the matches, it's a long story, but basically it was causing cancer and illness to all the people that were making it. So William Booth sees a need, he goes over, he starts a match factory, and then guess what he does? He actually eventually employs people and all sorts of stuff, and then he moves on to something else. Because God was doing a new thing. It was employment, and then it was this, and then it was that, and he moves on to a new thing. And what happens when we hold on to the past so tightly, we need to hold it a bit more like this. When we so hold on to the past and what God has done in the past so tightly, we don't want to give it up because it's comfortable. You with me? We don't want to give it up. But God is saying he wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in your spirit. We had a prayer meeting before. We called some just a prayer meeting from 8:30, 9 o'clock. And we're just praying that God would do a new thing. You know, I believe that people will not come to know Jesus, well, they will, through just the good news. You talk about the good news of Jesus. They've heard it before. What they need is an encounter with Jesus. You look all through Scripture, people came to Jesus because they were seeing him, people getting healed, and then from the experience, the encounter with God, they actually heard the good news and gave their life to Jesus. And what I'm saying is I believe that people are going to start to come to Jesus, start and come to church because they're going to have an experience of the Holy Spirit that no one else can give them other than God. And then they will hear the good news of Jesus and then they will give their life to him. And if we start to live in that triangle, watch out, world. God's going to do a new thing in us and through us. You with me? I'm going to be vulnerable here. I'm going to share one example, and then I'm going to finish on, let God do his thing. I want to ask you the question, what is something in your past, you could see it as good, or something in your past that is not good, that you would be willing, or what you need to let go of, to forget in order to take hold of the new thing that God wants to do in you? What is something, and we call it a stronghold because it's holding you back from being all that God created you to be. What is something in your life that is holding you back from being all that God created you to be? I think a big one is pride, worry. Some of the other key strongholds can be fear, rejection. A fear of being rejected, so we hold on. Oh, I don't know about that. Abuse, self-hatred, rejection, depression. I'm just going to share with you. I've worked through this, but probably like a fair few years ago, fear was something that was a stronghold on me. And what the fear was, my dad. One of the things that my dad instilled in us was a good work ethic, and I think that's a great trait. And so he couldn't stand laziness. So the times that I got a bit of a leather belt or an encouragement from my dad was times when I was a little bit lazy. And instilled in me, you know what I mean, you make things happen, you drive, you do things. And so, and that's a healthy thing. You know, I want my children to be like that. But then over a period of time, I got my worth out of making things happen. I'm Mark. I make things happen. I do stuff. Instead of, actually, God makes things happen and Mark just joins in for the ride. You with me? You know what formed from that? I got addicted to being busy. And people look at Mary and Martha and they go, oh, yeah. Deep down, everyone goes, oh, I'd rather be a Martha. You know what? They're just as bad as each other. Or just as good as each other. However you want to look. And I got addicted to being busy. And because I thought if I was busy, I was achieving and I was doing stuff and I was making things happen. And you know what? A little bit of that came in. Control. You're thinking, man, this is a bit crazy. But it is control. I want to make things happen. And so what I start to do is if I think that God wants to go over this direction, I start knocking the door down rather than stop being still and listening to God's voice and letting him do his stuff. And he said, Mark, that way, but not just yet. And guess what it has robbed me of? That has robbed me of an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It has robbed me of seeing God's hand and power at work and in display. It has robbed me from leading our church as effective as I could. It has robbed me from words of encouragement for people in our church. It has robbed me of vision and potential in people. And I've seen, sometimes out of frustration, seen problem rather than opportunity. And what it does when you give into a little stronghold, something that holds you back from being more than what God created you to be, it actually will rob you of being. It'll rob you of doing something great, God doing something new and great in your life. You with me? We're going to have a time just to sit and be still, but I just want to share a story. I shared before about Jude with his dummy. And so he's given up his dummy, and normally when someone gives up something of comfort, gives up something, normally they pick up another habit. Would you agree? To fill that habit. And we just need to make sure that that habit's a good thing. And over the last like 2 months, Jude, his talking's getting better. And Jude wants us to sing him a song when he goes to bed. He has to do it. And he says it like this. He says, I've written it down, Waze Alleluia. Waze Alleluia. And we're like, what is he saying? Waze Alleluia. And we're like, what is Raise a Hallelujah? Raise a Hallelujah. It's his favorite song. And he sits on his drums and we put it on YouTube and he just plays the drum to Raise a Hallelujah. He does that over and over. And so Lauren's away for 3 nights. She's at Colour having a great time. God's talking to her. And he's there in the bed. Hey, raise a hallelujah. And it took me a little while. Oh, he wants me to sing Raise a Hallelujah. The other night, Lauren and I, she's coming in. I could hear Lauren singing Raise a Hallelujah. And it says, Raise a Hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Raise a Hallelujah louder than the unbelief. But Lauren's doing it, trying to get him to sleep. Raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. And then she's going a bit louder. I raise a hallelujah, heavens to fight for me. And then I said, I'm going to sing in the middle of a storm, louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. And I start like going on a drum beat on Jude's tummy going, da 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 da. And Lauren looks at me and goes, he's supposed to be going to sleep, Mark. I said, oh, well. Yeah, anyway. The point I'm trying to make is simply this. When you give up your dummy, when you give up the things that hold you back, when you give up those strongholds, you give yourself the best opportunity to be intimate with God. You give yourself the best opportunity to allow God to speak into your spirit. And instead of sucking on a dummy to put him asleep, he's now thinking about God. He's now raising hallelujah. That's his comfort. And my prayer is this, if you were willing to let him look deep within your heart and in your spirit, he will fill your spirit. He will fill your heart. He will fill your soul with comfort, with peace, with insurance. And he will do a new thing in you. And you know what? I want a new thing for our church. I want a new thing for myself. I want a new day for the Salvation Army. I want a new day for the church. And just imagine if we just continue to sit in the center of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and allow him to do his work in us. And right now, I want to encourage you to close your eyes. And we can have 5 minutes just to be still. But the question right now, God, what is it? What's the new thing that you want for me? And what's the thing that you want me to lay down? What's the thing that you want me to put aside in order that I can have that new thing? And remember this, fear will want to stop you from doing that. Pride will want to stop you from doing that. The past, you know what I mean? Don't live in the past. He's got a new thing for you. Just in quiet, close your eyes. A couple of the guys might play a bit of music while we're listening. And just allow God to speak to you. And as you're doing that, you may want to kneel down and pray. You may want to come to the front for prayer. After this service, we're going to have a whole heap of people. We've got some prayer warriors or some people that are going to pray for you. So if you want to be prayed for or something that you're struggling with, or you just want to hand something over to God, we're going to have some people pray with you after the service, and we're in the parents' room. But right now, we're going to allow you to come forward and respond, and someone will pray for you. He's going to do a new thing. Are you going to let go of the old thing? You're going to let go of the past? Are you going to hand to him some of these insecurities? This is a new day. He has something new for you. God, I pray right now, for these next 5 minutes, I pray that you would reveal yourself to each and every one of us, that you would fill our heart with hope that you have something greater in store for us. But you would give us courage to face and to be vulnerable with you today. I pray that you would identify at least one thing in our life that we need to hand over to you again today. It could be a recommitment of our faith. It could be a particular characteristic that you've been struggling with. It could be some hurt. Whatever it is, God, I pray that you would do a new thing. Come into that space as they invite you in and do a new thing. keep praying, keep seeking, keep pressing. Okay, God, what is it? Reveal yourself to me. And strive to be obedient. Whatever he asks you to do, just go and do it. Do not settle. Do not settle. When you settle, you're disobedient because you're not being all that God has created to be. There's a new day. He is doing a new thing in you. Your eyes closed, just can I go, what is it that you want of me? And I can tell you in his voice, it's surrender. Surrender. Just hand it to me. Surrender. There's still opportunity to respond, talk, but we're going to sing a song and the guys, but just still in an attitude of handing it over to God, still in an attitude of God, what is it that you want? Because he wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to do a new thing. He wants to provide provision. He wants you to be all you can be, the best you, the best self you. And allow him to do the inner stuff, the deeper stuff in your heart. Jesus is calling. He's calling people to just be totally surrendered to him. He's calling the church just to be totally encapsulated by him, to pursue him and him alone. He's calling us to be all that we are, were called and created to be. Behold, God is doing a new thing. General Eva Burrow, she said, the only limit to the Holy Spirit is us. Is that actually a surrendered spirit saying, God, I'll do what you want. I'll go where you want. I'll say what you want. I'll be who you want. I'll lay it all down before you. I'm just going to read this verse because my prayer is it sticks in your hearts. I'm the Lord, your Holy One, Israel, Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. It goes on a bit further. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see that God is doing a new thing? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals, they honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert, streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Our response is to praise the King of Kings. Our response when God's going to do a new thing and we hand the past behind Him is to praise, actually to praise, to lift His name up, to honor Him. And that's my prayer as you go this week, just praise the King. Hand what you have over to Him and allow Him to do a new thing. Say yes to Him. Be obedient. Look for ways to engage Him. Spend time with Him. Read your Bible. Get on your knees. Any of those insecurities and things where you're beating yourself up, behind me, Satan, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to allow you to do a new thing. And we're going to finish as our benediction, and we're going to sing the song, Raise a Hallelujah. Because that's what happens when God's doing a new thing, you hand over the old thing, you're going to raise, you're going to praise Him. And that's what it finishes off in verses 22. He goes, the people of God, they praise God. They thank God. So we're going to sing that together. And may that be our prayer. So if you'd like to be upstanding, we'll sing that song together. Thanks.